This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Well, what a beautiful Lord's Day that God has given us to share this special, special time together. I want to thank you for joining us on the Invisible War radio program today. Wherever you are, don't change that dial. We have a special, special guest today, a story that you will want to pay attention to very carefully. It is a story of God's amazing power and restoration and healing. It is a story of God's mercy, of His grace. Now, those are big theological terms. What it simply means is God's love. And we want you to know today as we share this wonderful testimony with you that God loves you. And what you hear today, He can do for you as well. We have today one of God's special trophies. We have Taylor with us today to share her wonderful story of how God has and is restoring her. But before she comes, I want us to ask the Lord to meet us right here and right now. I want us to ask the Lord to meet us. So would you join me in prayer right where you are? Let's ask the Lord to come. The Bible says that if we draw near to the Lord, He will draw near to us. So Lord Jesus, we thank You for today. We thank You for the opportunity that is ours to share in what You are all about, to be able to share in Your mighty work. Lord, Your supernatural work honors and glorifies Thy name. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that You would open up our hearts that we might receive what You have for us today. And I ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, Taylor, I have longed for this day. I have looked so forward to our coming together and sharing your story, probably as much as any other story. You represent this ministry and how the Lord has done such a wonderful work in and through our family and in our lives to be able to share it with you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Taylor comes from a wonderful Christian family. She was adopted into a wonderful Christian family. Your mom, one of the sweetest ladies in all the earth, was the daughter of a very well-known denominational leader. So she grew up in the church. She grew up around church folks, and all the big shots, as it were, in the denomination would come into her home as a child, and she kind of knew a who's who, a litany of denominational leaders. So that's the family that you were adopted into. Now, I want to ask you, Taylor, what does adoption mean to you? Share from your heart as one who has been adopted. Tell us what that means to you.
Adoption was always presented to me as a very special thing, like in the aspect of my mother loved me enough, my biological birth mother loved me enough to place me for adoption rather than keeping me as her own child and subjecting me to who knows what. And love is not just enough. You have to be able to provide and care for a child in more ways than just love. But it's a special thing. I've adopted out two children myself, so I've been on both ends of it, and it's one of the most selfless things you can do. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's very, very I feel very, very fortunate to both be adopted and to have been in the position to place a child for adoption, knowing that it's way more beneficial to them than the alternative.
Now, growing up as a child, how did you feel about this new home? Of course, you were a little bitty when you were adopted.
I was 13 weeks old.
You were just a little, little infant when you were adopted in this home. So you really never known another home.
No, not at all.
It was home.
It was home.
It was mom and pop, and you call her dad and mom?
Yes, sir.
There you go. God did a wonderful thing. And by the way, the whole idea of adoption,
it's biblical.
It's a biblical thing.
I didn't know that.
We are all adopted into the family of God through the birthright of Jesus. We are joint heirs with Christ. So it's a God thing. Mm-hmm. And so you have been more than wonderfully blessed to have been adopted into a wonderful family. Tell me, who was Taylor growing up? What was your life like growing up?
I was pretty carefree, and I loved outdoors, and I was a daddy's girl. I absolutely loved hanging out with my dad, going hunting and fishing and just, you know, doing yard work with him and everything. I absolutely loved animals. I had all kinds of animals, anything that they would let me have. It was good. You know, I always knew I was adopted. I never remember being told anything different. But I was always told that I was extra special because I was adopted and I had two families, and life was good.
Now let's talk about your teen years. Share with us about your teen years.
Between 12 and 13, I started, I guess, acting out a little bit. And so I kind of dismissed everything that I had grown up knowing in the church and all the things that they had told me were right. And I kind of rebel really hard, and I turned to guys and bad relationships, bad choice of friends, and then went into alcohol and drugs and just drowned myself out in that.
Now, anyone who has been adopted, and we have learned this through dealing and ministering with several folks that have walked the way of adoption, there are all kinds of issues of abandonment. And I'm not talking about just your issues. I'm talking about generational issues of abandonment and so forth. And so it is easy, if not a prayer covering over that child. And I'm not talking about just going to church, but I'm talking about a intentional, supernatural, spiritual warfare type prayer covering that when these difficult times come, and by the way, no family's better than anybody else.
Right.
That's why Jesus had to die for all of us. Nobody's better than anybody else. If you have listened to the Invisible War program at any time, you know that we understand there's no condemnation in Jesus. None.
Yes, sir.
That's why we all need Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation. Jesus did not come to condemn, but to save. You will not hear condemnation from the Invisible War radio ministry. But let me simply say to you, all of these issues of abandonment and struggle and finding stuff out you didn't really want to know, and the world was rocked, as it were, again, your world was rocked. You turned to drugs, to guys, to relationships, to sex. How did all that work out for you?
Pretty awful.
It was awful.
Yes, it drove me crazy in the end.
You had a spirit that caused you to run.
Yes, sir.
What do you remember about that?
From a very young age, I would always run from, I guess, confrontation. I didn't want to be confronted. I knew what I was doing was wrong. I mean, I grew up learning right from wrong in church and had a conviction of whenever I did wrong. And the best way for me at that time to deal with it was to ignore it and run and go do whatever I could do to drown out that pain and that conviction, that guilt. And I mean, I ran away countless times to, you know, go to parties or go across the country or whatever, and didn't work out very well.
Now, you have shared with us already that you had pregnancies and you adopted out children.
Yes, sir.
Okay, your children. These pregnancies came out of this running and rebellion. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now, you were married.
Yes.
And you and your husband had two children.
Yes,
you
sir.
Have two children.
Yes.
Now, that's where I came into your life. A mutual friend and counselor recommended that you and your husband come to me for a prayer meeting. Now, I don't know what you were thinking, but that's what you were coming to. Do you remember what you were thinking at that time?
I was kind of just doing what everybody else wanted me to do. You know, I didn't necessarily at that point want my marriage to work out. I was miserable. He wasn't nice to the children. I was in a place where I couldn't do it on my own. So I was kind of stuck. I was willing to do anything, but not ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me give a little background. The Invisible War book, those of you that have a copy, you will notice that on the cover is a man's name. The man that wrote the foreword to the book is Dr. Roy Fish. Dr. Roy Fish was longtime professor of evangelism at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, considered one of the most spiritual men, if not one of our real special spiritual men of the Southern Baptist Convention. Your mom's family grew up in the same hometown in Arkansas with Dr. Fish.
Wow.
And so because of that connection, your family thought it was okay for you to come to me for prayer because Rob Randall had Dr. Fish's name on the book, okay? Nobody cares much what I say, but when Dr. Fish speaks, it's very, very important. And so because of that amazing godly connection, because Dr. Fish was willing to lend his name to the Invisible War, it made that connection with your mom and your family. Isn't it amazing how God works?
It
really is amazing. Now, what was going on in your life then that caused you to seek help, even from someone you didn't know?
Well, I had turned to drugs again, even after having the children, and thinking that that would be enough is to, you know, have a family and do it the right way. And it was too much. I felt like I couldn't help it myself. And I wanted help, but I wasn't ready to surrender everything at all.
Now, let me tell you what I remember. And you fill in the blanks, if you would. You had run. You had run from your husband.
Yes.
Once again, things had gotten so difficult, you had run. And you met up with a guy. You remember his name? Tell us his name.
Legion.
That's right. You met up with a guy by the name of Legion. And when you had come to me, you didn't remember anything that had happened for several days. And it had scared you enough to at least come to this prayer meeting, and rightfully so. Now, a couple of years ensued. You lost your marriage. Things did not work out. Things were just getting spiraling out of control. And you ended up on the street. Tell us about what you remember about those days.
Things were crazy. I sold drugs to make ends meet. I slept on people's couches. I had apartments here and there, but I was always very unsettled wherever I was. Like, I always thought I needed something else, and I was not in a position to have my children. My ex-husband at the time had them, and that was very hard for me to deal with. I called him as much as I could, but there was no opportunity for me to have them by myself. I had to be with my parents, which was a strained relationship also, because they didn't understand why I was where I was at and why I wouldn't seek the help that they thought I needed. But it was very lonely, and it was very miserable most days. But I did drugs to stop the pain, and it worked for a little while, and then I couldn't do it any longer.
Drug addiction, as we have learned, as you know, is not the problem. It becomes the problem, but it is medicating a wound. And usually it is a very severe wound that says, nobody loves me. That in the heart of it, I'm not worth loving. And that pain, because we're created to be loved. We're created to be loved and know that we're loved. That pain is so severe. That's the reason why so many folks turn to drugs, trying to medicate this pain. Now, you would come to me for prayer about once a year. That's not enough.
Tell me about it.
She would come, and Taylor, you were wonderful, and you were sweet, and you were transparent. You didn't cover anything, but the fact is, it was just almost out of necessity. My parents want me to come and that kind of thing. And so here I am kind of thing. And the Lord met us every time,
absolutely,
every time. But not a lot was done because you weren't ready yet.
No.
Now, there was a day in which your dad called me up and he was very upset. He said that when he looked into your eyes, it wasn't you. He saw something very different than Taylor. he saw a raging animal. Literally, he said it was like a wolf, a raging animal.
I remember.
It actually scared him. Now, your dad is a wonderful man of God, one of my dearest friends, and sweet, sweet, sweet friend. Your dad's a tough, hard-working. I mean, I don't know anybody that works any harder than your dad. He gets into it and goes at it. I mean, he's tough. He's hardworking. He's a rough West Texas cowboy. He grew up wrangling, and I mean, he's a tough guy. There isn't much your dad hasn't faced in life, but this was different. This was supernatural. You couldn't put a rope around this. You couldn't shoot this down. The powers of darkness had overtaken his little girl's life. And when he called me, he recognized it. He recognized it. Well, you ended up in jail. That was a wild time, wasn't it?
Yes.
What do you remember about that?
Well, I ended up in jail about 4 times in about 2.5 weeks. And 2 of the times it was for public intoxication. And I wasn't on any drugs at all. I was just, I had gone crazy. I knew right from wrong and had gone back to the Lord and repented and then come back to doing my own thing with, you know, with the drugs and with the sexual relationships and stuff. And I'd been warned and from the Holy Spirit himself and from others, you can't do both at the same time. You cannot serve both God and man. And that's what I was doing. And I wound up crazy. I couldn't function.
Well, I came into the picture and went to the jail and prayed with you through the glass.
Okay? Yes, sir, I remember.
You remember those times? The evil ones that had control of you at that time spooked everybody even in the jailhouse. I mean, they were spooked. The guards were scared. They were shaken.
Yes.
The chaplain, I met with the chaplain of the jail, and she was shaken as well. And needed counseling when she was ministering to you or trying to minister to you. And from there, what happened? They committed you where?
To Big Springs State Hospital. But I want to talk about like the chaplain and the place that they put me in jail. This is really kind of a God thing. You know, I wasn't in general population. I was in what they call seg, where you're segregated. But it was directly across from the chapel. So I could see like whenever they had any kind of services or worship or anything. So that was a blessing. But as far as Big Springs goes, that was like a 5-star hotel compared to jail. And they actually let me have a Bible. I was not allowed to have anything when I was in jail. Absolutely nothing. Not even clothes most of the time. And I got to Big Springs and had a bed and a pillow and a blanket. And they let me have access to a Bible. And it was where God just really said, you know, these are your choices. You can end up in jail, crazy, or use what I've given you to allow me to fix you. And it was an experience for sure.
Now, I followed you on out to Big Spring State Hospital to minister to you out there. I remember those trips well. I don't know if our listeners have, some may have been to a state mental institution before, but that's a weird place.
It is a weird
place.
I'm
telling you, it doesn't get stranger than the state mental hospital.
No.
I can give mental pictures, but I don't want to spook our audience, but very drugged up.
Absolutely.
Folks walking around, you know, every kind of level of depression and weirdness and strangeness and so Taylor's in the middle of that. Now, I want to say this, and please hear my heart. Man does the best man knows how to do with what's going on around us. And our education takes us just so far, especially our secular education. But of course, when you walk into these state mental institutions, there's not many places as strange as that. I mean, it is dark. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
It's a dark place.
Yes.
People that have been cast away.
Absolutely.
Cast away from their families and cast away from society. And they are just managed, as it were.
There were lots of people who were there indefinitely for the rest of their lives.
Right. So here's little Taylor in the midst of that. Now, I'm a minister. And so because I'm a minister, they gave us a room. And didn't bother us. They were sweet enough to give us the time needed for our prayer meeting. And I'm trying to hold back the tears as Taylor is. But it was there in that room God met us in his great healing power. Well, we're going to have to pick up the story and what happened there in that special room at the mental hospital next time. We'll talk about it in detail, how God met us. But I know, as I know my heart, that God is speaking to many of you as he is speaking to our hearts today. And I want to encourage you, as Taylor is here encouraging you. She has been willing to share her story because she wants to encourage. We want to encourage you that whatever you are facing, however deep your pain, Jesus is greater. He's greater. He loves you, even if you don't believe it. His love never fails, never fails. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear, very powerful spirit. Did you know it's a spirit? Yeah, it's a spirit. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. No matter how deep, no matter how dark, no matter how cast away you may feel, from your family, from your friends, from society, I want you to hear my heart. God knows where you are. And his love is greater than your hurt, your pain, your fears. We all have them. I want you to know God is greater. Would you pray with me right now? Give me the privilege of praying with you. Would you allow the love of Heavenly Father to baptize you today? Would you do it? He'll come. He will lavish his love upon you if you will but humble yourself and receive it. Would you do it? Let's do it together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for Taylor's story because it's a story about you. Lord, I thank you that you are greater. You're greater than our hurts, our sorrows, our pains, our wounds. You're greater than all our fears. You're greater than our past. You're greater. You're greater. And Lord, I just ask in Jesus' mighty name that you would remove every cover spirit, every trick that the enemy has set up that we might not be able to receive your love, to be removed by the finger of God. Put us in the circle of your blood right now for healing and for cleansing and for protection. And I ask for a baptism of your spirit, a baptism of your love, a baptism of the love of Abba Father. Lord, I ask that you would meet us right now in the circle of your blood. Lord, I ask that you would receive us the way that you received those when you walked upon the earth, even children. Lord, take us back to that time when we were children, when our hearts were open and willing to believe and willing to trust. Take us to those times right now. Meet us in the circle of your blood. And Lord, I ask in Jesus' name right now that you would baptize my friends in the love of Abba Father, not just for today. But I ask that it would begin a season, the front door and the back door, the conscious and the subconscious. I ask that an angel of the Lord would be posted there in Jesus' name to see to it that your healing work will be accomplished. He who began a good work is faithful to complete it. We declare this time of healing, Korban, to the glory of God alone. It cannot be twisted. It cannot be stolen. It can only be used for God's glory. And I ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, if you prayed with me today, would you call me? Toll free, 1-877-808-8886. That's toll free, 1-877-808-8886. Or you can email me through our website, theinvisiblewar.org. Theinvisiblewar.org. And if you don't have a computer, you can write me, Rob Randall, P.O. Box 5, That's right. Rob Randall, P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. Let me share in your victories. Let me share in your concerns. Let me share your prayer burdens with you. We need each other. Let me encourage you to contact me today. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to next week as we will continue Taylor's story. That's going to be next week, right here on The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcasts, information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.